complicated reading series. It's going to be reading. We have a couple of musical performers.
Speak up, Ira.
You can't hear me? Okay. We're going to have two readers. We're going to have a musical interlude in the middle. Two musical performers will be playing. We'll have another reader. So we're going to begin tonight with Bernadette Mayer. I'll talk just a moment about her, and she will be. Bernadette Mayer is the author of numerous books of poetry and prose, including Poetry State Forest, New Directions in 2008, Scarlet Tanager in 2005, Two Haloed Mourners poems, 1998, Proper Name and Other Stories, 1996, The Desires of Mothers to Please Others in Letters, 1994, The Bernadette Reader, 1992, Sonnets in 1989, Midwinter Day, 1982, The Golden Book of Words, 1978, and Ceremony Latin, 1964. From 1972 to 1974, Mayer and conceptual artist Vito Acconci edited the journal 029 with her husband, writer, and publisher Louis Walsh. She edited United Artists Press. She's taught writing workshops at the Poetry Project at St. Mark's Church in New York City for many years, and she has served as the Poetry Project's director during the 1980s. Bernadette Mayer lives in East Nassau, New York. Thank you so much for coming out tonight.
You're So I'm going to begin with the last poem I wrote, which is called Every Day. I wait for a thunderstorm. We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature is rising. It isn't surprising that former would glory in telling the story of the Helens of Troy and Europe. Now this is called Eyjafjallajökull. I am the volcano, and every volcano you've ever met, not metaphorically, but really, I disrupt. My job title is Disruptor in Chief. Rest assured, you will be disrupted by me, gently but firmly, now and forever, amen. Backwards, I am Lukoyalafaya. Okay, P.S. Though I'm retired, I'll continue to disrupt full time. This is called Choska Mastinak. I live through the creek. I do not live the way you want me to, whoever you are, Mr. or Miss Peachy Keenness. Half the time, it's as if I took a drug you've never heard of or ingested a substance that made me lowercase green as a field in June. Hello, sir. I can make you turn to stone. With my wit alone. Thank you for blooming, those that did. The others, you missed your appointment, and now you will pay. Life will be unruly. You must eat all your meals at Kay's Pizza. Sacrifice someone who looks just like you and be buried alive till the season of nuclear winter, when you will rise from the dead and die for all our peccadilloes, okay? Then you will start a pointless civilization and be driven from the verdant fields of your startling anonymous days till the dark time. Then you will return home for a scone, and unexpectedly you'll have a grilled cheese and a cup of tea of your liking, and a fine dessert of asparagus ice cream with organic foam, accompanied by a breath mint or two. Choska Mastinak I was doing a jungle. You know what those are? And those were the letters. But I can't remember what the answer was. You can figure it out. This is called Sonnet Edmund Leitis. I had this dream that I knew exactly what was wrong with language school. I couldn't figure out how to translate the dream into a poem. And when I finally figured it out, it turned out that I could just transliterate them in exactly the way I dreamt it. I had a dream that you showed sensuality by showing your penis. This is what's wrong with the language school. They didn't go far enough. There was a very scary guy who threatened us with pain. You see, the guy who died by a firing squad chose that method over lethal injection. You can't be a Marxist-Leninist if you have a car. That's the argument I always used to have with the members of the language. In the days when Edmund Leitis was around, who was a philosopher who hung out with them, and I used to converse with them all the time. 4th of July, Demon Moped for Dave Briggs. Fireworks look like jellyfish, but jellyfish don't resemble fireworks. Gee, logical causal reasoning must be inaccurate. I was hoping you'd ask me what those birds are. I'd say, they're swallows. Then you'd say, what are they doing? And I'd say, they're swallowing mosquitoes. Not many jokes are as bad on paper as they are in person, but this is sure one. Except, of course, it's not even a joke. It's just a lame thought, like, oh my god, I found the pudgy pie pan slotted spoon. I also found the spatula. The colander never got lost. Did you ever list all the diseases you don't have? Best to a doctor who's nice. Now that is the end of that. Here's a new kind of sonnet. To bewilder the ever-present ladybugs and turn supermarkets into galaxies. There's a snowdrop coming up on 2109. It's good to know there's hope for spring. Darwin never knew how silly sexually we'd be. It's the only flower you might get have trouble getting to. Maybe I'm so old I won't be able to reach any flowers this year. Even daisies will be beyond me. I'm so close to that Queen Anne's lace, but I can't reach it. There's always the special Queen Anne's lace hotline for seniors. Your corkscrew penis won't fit into my vagina, corkscrewing the other way. Well, I am one of the labor people with this list of birds I've seen. It's an alphabetical list, so I'm afraid I'll have to. Avocet, blue jay, chickadee, warbler, egret, finch, rose-breasted, grosbeak, blue heron, ibis, icterid, junco, kestrel, moon, merganser, nuthatch, owl, osprey, pelican, quail, redwing, blackbird, robin, siskin, tanager, turkey vulture, underwood typewriter, vulture, woodpecker, pileated wren, yellowfinch, zinger. This is called Could You Bring the One? Our power, our poor horror, our impoverishment went out the hungry door. All sentient beings see the sun and or feel it. It weighs a ton. Poor on odd days, rich on even, but on the days of the month that are prime numbers, we get a little bit the way we're not. Today, poor as church mice, we hide to the Hannafords, spend $58.73 for a week's worth of food, the eggs and cigarettes got with the credit card. Soon will be free wars and dumpster dive and clean. This is called cardinal flowers. When in the course of human events, I summon up remembrance of the walk we took, I see nothing, I don't see, maybe I was blind, or so enraptured by the sights of the creeks. How many things can you keep in mind at once? I said I didn't see those creeks, but I did, except I can't remember anything. Now I've both lied and lost this sunny memory, so recently stored away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little lord pathway. I wonder if I should drink coffee. Now I remember less than nothing. What does that mean? I feel so atabled. I might be someone else. I might be the someone else I threatened my sister with being in nothingness. Sardines. Is a yellow, red, orange, black, and green word. I got sardines at the dollar store, where everything except sardines is more than a dollar. For 60 cents, as they should be, my father used to take sardine sandwiches to work. Perhaps, therefore, I love sardines. When people used to talk about the subway, they'd say, we were packed like sardines, which sends a message. Small, cheap, tightly packed anchovies for the poor. Or you too can be both colorful and inexpensive as a really snappy, tiny, bright blue convertible in which you can enjoy the good things about feeling like a sardine. Maybe you'd rather be a striped bass or be a manatee with me or a grand whale, forgetful of nothing, even being so big, the ocean CEO. You'll take home a giant amount of cash when the ocean goes bust, so you can share it, even, that's not actually funny, so you can share it even with the downtrodden sardines who get packed in cans from Thailand and shipped to the family dollar store for a pretty debt. You know, that poem was seen by somebody who wrote to me from the sardine website. Apparently, they're closing down all the old sardine factories in Maine.
The last one closed last year.
Yeah.
The last sardine factory in America closed last year.
Yeah. So he wanted to publish my poem to kind of publicize love of sardines.
I love sardines.
I do too. But you know, it's hard to get them.
I just bought 60 in cans of Price Chopper for $1 a piece.
Are they from America?
No, they're actually from Poland, which is strange. Poland is not the kind of place that you associate with sardines.
Exactly. Wow.
North Sea sardines, I'd say.
Super
sad. They tell you what sardines on social media are going to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
This one is called You're Boring as a Blue Day. Today is night is different from saying night is day. Today is like night. Tonight might seem as long as a day. It's raining lions and mastodons. The creek never floods in July, or hasn't, but it might be turning over a new leaf. Next day, more rain. All night rain. It's beginning to seem too weird. Pain at the pump's been replaced by green, just to distract you, like the inside of a fallen trumpet flower, to a blue day. When's it gonna not rain? I can't do without blue. So this poem is called Bill Green, who is my neighbor across the road. Money's green as grass, neither grows on trees, but I'll trade you blades for cash. I need to get Bill a snow globe of the Statue of Liberty. We've got plenty of tree trunks here, ones with leaves, but no manufactured items except TVs, cars, earth movers, and chainsaws, sinks, stoves and refrigerators. Bill's got a generator and a snow blower. I have an electric typewriter and a huge inflated bee on top of the TV. Everybody has more money than me. The tulips are planted by the water pump. Powdered Vermont cheddar and Celtic sea salt. Phil and Hector went to the creek. I didn't go because it's still too icy. I've been burned by my last attempt. Today, a 50-degree day in February. Last night, I dreamt Anne gave me $100 bills. She had some extras. Some, no, yes, maybe. On the return, they walk to the footprint, still in the snow, without apparent difficulty. And guess what? The sun comes out, but not for long. The snow is shrunk as feebly as the sun shines. Let's hope tonight's rain washes the snow away, so walk I can, The ice gets worse, got worse. Now, yellow and green pie with chemicals. So I'm going to read, one more of these. It's called First Snow Hotline. Out the somber window that shows hibernating trees, the water pump, the road, nothing falling from the gray sky yet. The room I'm in's too clean. The fire's failed. I'm doing the french fries on top of the stove. The mail's failed to come. The turkey had no liver. But it may work to write this poem unless it gets stuck. It gets stuck like a car by the creek. The creeks are over the top. Be wary of them. Of getting mail from a bank and a flyer from the family dollar store, in which everything is more than a dollar, except sardines. I don't even have a bank account, but I saw a rainbow in the woods. When the sun got low enough to shine under the earth's cloud caps, I thought that's not a bad deal from dish to turkey. So the last poem I'm going to read is a poem reading for Robert Daw, who's here. And he asked me last time I saw him to read some ancient landlord poems from New York City, and this is one of them. And Robert, just so you know, is he's in a show at the Albany Airport, so you should check it out. It's called Word and Image. So this poem is called Men from Modernistic. And this is what happens in on the water side in a carbon building. Now it turns out that the landlord knew that the Conciliation and Appeals Board case to find out what our legal rent is in this apartment when settled will only be retroactive to the day the landlord bought the building we live in, though he bought it from his son. This means that we will not be reimbursed for the year we lived here before that, but since the landlord is offering us reimbursement for the whole time we've lived here, if we'll accept a rent just $100 lower than what it is now, if we'll drop our case to find out the legal rent, we feel that he might be very frightened of what the real rent is. Also, we feel we've got to do this so people who live here after us don't have to pay so much rent, too. But we desperately need the money. The landlord would pay back to us now. If we dropped our case, I guess that's what he's figuring, too. The bell just rang, but nobody's there. I don't particularly want to live in this apartment. The men who fixed the elevator are working on converting the old manual service elevator into a self-service one. As usual, this is the worst thing they could be doing. First of all, it isn't necessary. The name of the company doing the work is Modernistic Elevators. Secondly, the manually operated elevator was a great comfort since the regular one is always broken. Now when it's broken, there is just is none, even for the 90-year-old people who have lived here for 60 years. We all have to stay out of our homes or apartments or walk up the stairs with our ages, children, packages, and diseases, some to the 10th, 11th, or 12th floors. The men who were working on the elevator from Modernistic have been at it now for 6 months. The landlord's agent recently told us that the elevator would be finished sometime in January, which would make it approximately 9 months. Everyone who lives here knows that this is harassment. Not only that the new elevator will go to the basement, so that when you get into it, at any time of day or night, you will not know if it will go to the basement then, which is a place of fear. There is no other way out of it. Other ways the landlord found to harass people here are no lock on the front door, no heat, and no water at all. The incinerator and the boiler are dangerous, and each have set the building on fire once since we've been here. Last winter, we began a rent strike, but only 10 people would join us. Others were afraid of getting eviction notices and either frightened of or too old to go to court. Most preferred to join the tenants' organization and pay $50 each for a lawyer to stop the red herring plan. And then at the meetings, they'd be afraid to criticize the super, who is the landlord's pimp, because they think of the landlord as the father, or the president, or something, and don't want to make him mad, lest he should then be mad at them. All the people who can are leaving the building because it is so horrible, which is what the landlord wants to have. He is now renting apartments to young people who will be transient for less than what he was asking 3 years ago and without leases. This is so there will be a big enough turnover to force people to buy their apartments, which is bad or the same for them and puts money in the bank for him. If you buy your apartment, you don't own it. You own shares in the corporation that owns the building. You have no more power to change everything, and you are subject to frequent what they call reassessments, which means you have to pay more money to someone I'm not really sure who. This is happening all over our neighborhood. There is no place for anyone to go, nor can a new person ever move in unless that person has a lot of money. If you flee to the various corridors we're expected to flee to for jobs and places to live, we will become a part of the grand real estate plan already written in some offices, and only rich people will remain living in the new Manhattan layers, which wouldn't be so bad if the bomb dropped. But in that case, it probably wouldn't fall here. All the symphonies and ballets and academic poetry readings will be attended by those privileged ones, those few young people left in the city who will create a beautiful neo-fascist art, which will be fashionable even among the naive, and all will struggle for their incomes to pay the landlord or else suck their cocks once again for the rent. Some people will even submit to torture to stay in their apartments, perhaps rent their only children